Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God which we receive with gladness this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 19, where God here is speaking about Abraham. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. This last Thursday afternoon, Vanessa and I and Kaylee went down to Yellowstone Lake. It's in the southwestern part of Wisconsin. And we strapped our kayak to the top of our car. Of course, when we strapped it to the top of our car, the kayak was straight, in line with respect to the car itself. But because of the way that we strapped it, slowly as we drove, the wind shifted it. And by the time we got down to the lake, the kayak was angled with respect to the car. We want to be careful that we don't do this with God's word, don't we? We want to be careful that we don't shift God's word to line up with our thinking. We want to be careful that it's our thinking that is shifted to be in line with God's word and not the other way around. This morning we have a word from God, and that word is chosen. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7, the prophet tells us, "You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham." God chose Abraham. But what does this mean? What does God mean when he talks about choosing Abraham? And what does God mean when in Ephesians, Paul tells us that he has chosen us as well? We need to be careful that we understand this word of God in the context of Scripture and according to God's word and not according to our understanding. The words that God uses often mean more than how we use them, don't they? They never mean less. For example, when God tells us he created the world in 6 days, we also use the word create. Bob, for example, created that beautiful bulletin board and the shelf under it, right? He creates wonderful things with wood. But when we speak of God creating, it means far more, and Bob does far more than I could do with wood, but when we speak of God creating, it means far more than that. Very often, people want to make God's word mean less. They want to say that when God says he created the world in 6 days, well, he really took him millions of years, and he used evolution to do it. Now, that's adding a lot more time, but it's making the word itself mean less, isn't it? The word create means more, not less. Another good example is John 3:16. God so loved the world. We use the word love all the time. But the way we use the word love is far less than the way that God uses it. Again, people want to make that passage also, that word love, mean less. They want to say, well, when God loves the world, that means he's not going to hold your sin against you. He's not going to punish. He's not going to discipline. Everyone will eventually get to heaven. That's making God's love less than it is, isn't it? God loves us so much that he will not allow sin to remain in our lives. A father who loves his child disciplines his child. A father who loves his child gets angry when his child disobeys and runs into the street or gets involved with drugs and alcohol because of his love. God's love for us is greater than our love. So much so that he will not allow sin to remain in our lives. God's words mean more, not less. And the word we have before us, the word chosen, means more than we often realize as well. When God chose Abraham, he means something far greater. We pray that God would shift our hearts and minds this morning to be in line with his word, and keep us from the sin of shifting his word to be in line with our thinking. God chose Abraham. What does this mean? First of all, it means that God had every intention of meddling in Abraham's life. He wasn't about to leave Abraham alone to choose his own way, was he? In our text, it says, it uses a different word rather than the word chosen. It says God has known Abraham. When God says that he has known Abraham, it means that he has taken a special interest in him, that he has observed him, that he has watched his every step in order to guide those steps, in order to mold Abraham's life. There's a really fascinating passage that uses the same phrase from the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Hear this word that the Lord God has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, now how would you expect that passage to continue? You only have I known, therefore I have loved you, therefore I have redeemed you. We'd probably expect something like that, right? But that's not how God continues. Rather, he continues, you only have I known, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. It's not what we were expecting, is it? And it wasn't what I was expecting when I was reading that passage. It really struck me. What God is saying here is that because he has chosen not only Abraham, but also Abraham's descendants, the nation of Israel, because he has known them, he will meddle in their lives. He will discipline them to bring about his purposes. A father often doesn't care that much if another child, one that's not his own, learns how to walk, right? But a father often cares very much that his own child learns how to walk. And when his own child takes that first step, the father takes pictures and calls up everyone and talks about it to the point where everyone else says, okay, we get it, your child can walk. God is invested in those whom he has chosen to make sure that they learn how to walk. And he goes to great lengths in Abraham's life and in our life as well. We see this in the life of Abraham over and over again, don't we? We see how God was constantly interfering and meddling in Abraham's life, appearing to him, disciplining him, promising him, praising him, calling him, until Abraham learned to walk by faith, so that Abraham was able, as we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning, that his faith had grown to such extent that when God asked him to sacrifice his only son Isaac, he was willing to do it. This is part of what it means that God chose Abraham. It's part of what it means that God has chosen us as well, that he is going to meddle in our lives whether we like it or not. Romans 8:29 tells us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. To be conformed. He's going to meddle in your life to bring about that change which he desires. What does it mean that God chose Abraham? Secondly, it means that God is going to bring about his purpose. His purpose, not our purpose, his purpose in our life. If we were to ask the question, why did God choose Abraham, as in why Abraham and not somebody else? Well, for example, why not Job? Why not Melchizedek, right? Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, seems like even higher, better than Abraham. Why didn't God choose Melchizedek instead of Abraham? Well, that's a question we can't answer because God doesn't tell us and the Bible doesn't tell us. But if we ask the question, why did God choose Abraham, as in what purpose, for what reason, for what goal did he choose Abraham? Well, there's an answer Scripture does give us. In our text, it says that he chose him in order that he might command his children after him. And then through those children, we know that God is going to bring about the birth of the Messiah, to save the whole world. As God told Abraham elsewhere, he will be a blessing to all the earth. In order to restore to him, the purpose for which God chose Abraham is to restore to humanity that tree of life which Adam and Eve lost that we heard about last week. But he's going to do that through this. God's choosing of Abraham is that in order that he might command his children after him. And notice that God makes it clear that he, God, brings about his purpose in Abraham's life. And again, our text seems wrong to us if we stop to think about it. The logic of our text seems backwards to us because God says, I have known Abraham in order that his children might learn obedience. He might command his children after him. What enables us to teach our children? We would probably say the more that we know God, the better we are able to teach and bring up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But our passage says the opposite, doesn't it? It doesn't say Abraham knew God so that he could command his children. It says God knew Abraham. It is God's purpose working in our lives, God's purpose working in Abraham's life that brought about his children being commanded after him. It's not the more that we know God, but it's the more that God knows us. We often find things that little children say rather funny. And one of the reasons is because their logic is usually backwards, their priorities are usually backwards, right? I happened to see the following quote on Twitter the other day. A four-year-old says to his father, can we get a kitten? And the father responds, oh, I'm allergic. We can't be in the same house. And the four-year-old responds, well, you could sleep outside. We understand that logic is backwards, but from the kid's point of view, it seems perfectly logical. Well, if you sleep outside, then we can have a kitten. We understand that the kid's priorities are backwards, but to the kid, it seems perfectly fine. We often speak to God in the same way. We say to God, it's logical that the more I know you, the more my children will be commanded after you. But God knows that we're like children. What seems logical to us, God reveals, is not the case. The more that God knows us, the better he will bring about the teaching of our children. I have known Abraham with the result that he may command his children after him. We often make God's choosing less when we think that it's our knowing of God or it's our choosing of God that bring about God's blessings in our life. This is not the case. Scripture reveals to us it is God knowing us that brings about his blessing in our life. It's his meddling in our lives. It's him producing his purpose, not us producing his purpose. God chose Abraham. What does this mean? Thirdly, our text reveals to us that it means that God has a part for Abraham. And that when God chooses us, he has a part for us too. Now at first, that might sound very encouraging. Oh, God has a part for me to play. But we have to remember that it's a part, and it's the part that God has chosen for us. It's not necessarily the part we would choose for ourselves. Abraham's part in God's plan of salvation was to leave his fatherland, to go to the land of Canaan, to grow in faith, and also to be a wealthy man. And reading what God's plan for Abraham, we might think, well, that sounds great. I don't necessarily want to leave my home and my land, but the rest of it sounds pretty good, right? That sounds like a good deal. But that was God's purpose for Abraham, not necessarily for us. God's purpose through Abraham, that was Abraham's part through which God brought about our salvation, right? Restore, as we talked about before, restoring to us that tree of life. Let's look at another passage, Jeremiah 29:11. This is one that many of us know and love for a very good reason. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We often use this verse as a verse of comfort, and it is a verse of comfort, and it's a verse we should use. But we often only skim the meaning of this verse, thinking, oh, well, if I'm having trouble now, you know, God is going to bless me in the future. What we often don't realize about this verse is that it's not singular. When God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, the you there is plural. I mean, you can't tell the difference in the English, but you can in the Hebrew. God's not saying, I have a plan for you, Clay, right? He's saying, I have a plan for you all. God's plan is to bring us, to restore us to that tree of life, to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior. Abram's part in that plan was to leave his fatherland, to be the father of the nation through which the Savior would come, to restore us to that tree of life. What about the people who Jeremiah is writing to in Jeremiah 29:11? Their part in God's plan was to be taken from their land, to be made slaves in a foreign land, to never see their home again, to remain poor and destitute and in bondage in Babylon. Not exactly the part we would like to choose for ourselves. But part of God's plan to bring all of us to that tree of life. There is great comfort in this verse, though, isn't there? Because even though it doesn't promise that we individually are going to be prosperous like Abraham and have a great life here on this earth, it does promise us that no matter what we're going through right now, God is working it to the good of all his people. He's working it to bring us, as well as everyone else we see around us, to that tree of life. We like to use Jeremiah 29:11 as though we will all have Abraham's part in God's plan. But what does it mean that God has a purpose for us? What does it mean that God has chosen us? It means he has a part for us, but we don't know what that part is. It might be a very difficult part. It might be a very easy part. But no matter what it is, we know God's purpose, God's plan is to bring us to that garden, to bring us before God's throne. God chose Abraham. God has also chosen you. The Apostle Paul makes that very clear in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice, he chose us for his purpose according to the good pleasure of his will. So again, he is going to meddle in our lives to bring about his will. Ephesians 1:11. Having predestined us according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Again, he has chosen us. He has grabbed hold of us in order to mold us. A lot of times we don't like that molding. But in order to mold us according to the counsel of his will, to bring about his purpose. And his purpose is to bring us to that tree of life. God chose Abraham so that through him he might redeem all of us. God has chosen you so that he might work in your life to bring you to his eternal salvation. Amen.